Praise the Lord, everyone. Thank everyone for coming. I'm going to pray us in and then we'll get going. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you thanking you for all things, dear God. We thank you for this morning. We thank you for everyone here in Bible study. We ask that you bless each and every one of us and through me, give them a good word, dear God. We ask that you just come in and just show up and show out. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Morning, everybody. I don't know what, it's funny because, you know, sometimes we tend to, and I made the mistake of deciding on what I was going to preach instead of what he wanted me to preach. So I got caught up at the last minute and I had to change up. So I'll be talking about judging others. That's what he gave me. Why, I don't know, but I believe before this time is up, it'll be revealed. So, all right, first I want to read you, go off and just start off by saying, one, judging is a condemnation. It has a finality. Your long-term thoughts on a person are developed in the first 30 seconds of contact. Judging places your values upon a person. You are imperfect. God will treat you in like kind. God's values and ideals are perfect. You will not live up to the standards. Faulty vision. We tend to look at the faults of others without ever paying attention to our own. We feel better when we get the attention off of ourselves. We become show-offs. You become a spectacle. I'm going to read you scripture from Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judged others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck or sawdust of our brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank that's in your own eyes? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So I thought about that. I'm gonna be honest with you. As a young guy, I was hard on judging folks, boy. whether it was just by the things somebody had, maybe, or even by the things they didn't have. Or you had those that had too much, but they knew they had too much. And of course, you know, you would judge that because the way they carried themselves. But at the same time, if I'm in sin too, what difference? It don't make me no better. At the same time, I have to come to myself and be like, well, let me get myself right before I'm able to. And then we can't go and chastise people either. If you are where you're supposed to be, you can't go to the next person. You got to go with love and you got to show them how. You got to give them a way. You just got to teach them and hopefully they'll follow you. Well, the thing of it is, usually if you fall in God, 9 times out of 10, they'll follow you. Yeah. But if you got something decrepit going on and you got something shaky going on in your lives, of course they're gonna sit back and rejudge you as well. Yes. I'm gonna go to go to another scripture. John 8, 1 through 8. But Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again in the temple courts, where all the people gathered around him. And he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group. Sorry. and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such woman. Now, what do you say? They were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw the first stone at her." So what does that mean? Anybody? Yes. I mean, yes, if you step to somebody else, or you sit there and judge somebody else, I mean, whether it's adultery, fornication, drinking, anything. I mean, whatever the case may be. And even if it's different from what, if you're in sin anyway, either way, even if it's different, you're still in sin. So you still got to judge, going to be judged by your judgment. So the best thing to do is make sure yourself is tight. And then, yeah, make sure you're right before anything. Because if you're not right, you can't help your fellow brother. So I wanted to kind of make this into a, kind of change the direction a little bit, make it into a kind of like a discussion to a certain extent, because I know we all fall short of glory sometimes. And I know as, like I said, as a young man, I mean, I've come a long way, and I still, you know, the thing about it is we die daily within our flesh. So dying daily within our flesh, I mean, how do we get ourselves to that point to where, you know, we are able to not be perfect, but be in a way that we can judge someone else? I mean, on a daily basis, you got so much stuff coming up against you. You got traffic. You got people out there with smart mouths. You got a little bit of everything. People at work, you know, got something to say, or you caught up and you find yourself going through so much that how do we, as a Christian, go through the day on a daily basis to get ourselves right in order to help the next person? You're right, yeah. And
this is very touching for me because I was a very judgmental person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I got into ministry, some of the law, I'm trying to keep the law, that came to more judgment. So for me, it's like God will put me in situations that I judge other people off. Every time I would see myself, I would say, "I don't see how," or something like that. And I would end up in that situation.
Mm.
Like, why does this keep I got you. Like, first back on me, her. So for me, I confess every day who I am in Christ. And when I speak at work, some controversy coming up or something, I have to go back and remind myself who I am in Christ, who I am not. Yeah, I'm not that person in Christ.
All right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
That's how it works for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes literally just doing a lesson yesterday on forgiveness, and it's kind of the same when it comes to, you know, being judgmental towards others. Mm. But the question that it posed for me was, what has somebody done to me that is greater than what I have done to God? Because God came back and, you know, he judged me with love and kindness, right? He came back and he forgave me for all the wrongs that I did. So who am I to sit back and think that, you know, the way that somebody else is living, or that I'm so highly that, you know, I don't have to do what God himself, Jesus himself, which was humble himself enough to love and care and be the example that is needed. Because when we think about, you know, forgiveness and being judgmental, we have to remind ourselves that, you know, he is the example. We're supposed to be getting all of our influence from him. And so the way that he moves is the way that we should move. And so if Christ walked around and wasn't judgmental, if Christ walked around and said, you know, judge yourself first before you judge others, then, you know, we should be doing the same because we are believers in Christ. And then you made a great point when you talk about dying to yourself daily, because whenever you die to yourself, then you're allowing God to enter you more and more. Each time you do that, you grow stronger and stronger in him, which means that your way of thinking, your way of seeing things, your way of acting, your way of speaking, all of those things start to shift and start to transform as you die daily to your flesh. And with that comes the understanding, comes the wisdom, comes the knowledge to approach situations, you know, in a manner that, you know, Christ would, versus, you know, in a manner that we have.
Right. Right. And you know, as ever I was talking, I was thinking, but then I got the answer. I mean, it's like, wouldn't it be so much easier to ignore it and not worry about somebody else and just worry about your own? But at the same time, is that what God wants us to do? That's not what, that's not what he wants us to do. I mean, that's just as bad as not bringing someone to him. I mean, you know, it's kind of in that same situation. I mean, why would you keep it for yourself? You got to be able to bring somebody else into it too, be able to share it and show it. What you got here, young lady? Yeah, I see.
I always remember where I was a wretched person, and I remember what God bought me from. When he shed his love on me and bought me out of the things that I was in, and as I stayed in his presence, and as I decided that I'm going to go all the way with him, I matured, and then I went as you go from glory to glory. God perfects things in you. And he gives you the love, his love, that when people, you can see people where you were, they come in your presence. He gives you the opportunity to see people suffering in some of the same mess you were in. And you have mercy, you have grace that he has bestowed on you, and you want to give it back to the people that he put in your presence. So it's the love of God. You know, You never forget where you come from. And he does a mighty, mighty work in your heart, within your spirit. And you want people to have that too. You want them to see what he has done in your life. And you want to give it back. And you just, you know, you love on people and accept people for who they are. And you just have your light to shine before people. And sometimes they just want to know, what is it that what is it that you have? How do you get that? You know, and you have the opportunity to tell them it's all God. And you have an opportunity to minister to them. And you just live the life before them. Because all the time, people are watching you. People are watching you every day of your life. It doesn't matter where you go. Jesus, you take Jesus everywhere you go. And people are watching your life, and they need that. They need to see your light shining. And it's so many people are just like embedded in their sin, and they're bounded, and they are in captive. And that's what God did. That's what he saved us for. He said to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, you know, and the lame. And that's the whole purpose was to save you, is to bring someone to him. And that's how you can stay out of judgment, because you got your face like flint, you know. You in his presence, you studying his word, and you want more of him every day, and you're feeding your soul. So you don't really have time to judge. You really don't. You want God. You want God's to give the people that are suffering just as much as what he's done for you.
And you actually in a good place, being where you work at. You're in a real good place. Yeah, very good place.
What you see, I think you truly have to be led by Holy Spirit. When you go to someone, you just can't rush in, and because that can do more damage than good. It's God's timing is everything. If you're going to speak to a brother or sister about something, or anyone else for that matter, allow God's timing to be your timing. Let Holy Spirit lead you into that situation, and then go in with love, and that love in your heart, and that way it's more fruitful. And sometimes they're still, you know, going to act like humans because, hey, we all are, you know. But it's important to be led by Holy Spirit before you speak out against someone again. And that's hard to do because sometimes, you know, you're a whole human too, and you get ahead of God, and that usually causes a lot of damage.
Yeah, and that's something else too. I mean, that's Lord, I've been blessed with that, because there's times when I get stopped, and I even go into that thought process. Should I say something? But the thing of it is, the ones that I do, I know he's told me that's what I need to do, and it always turns out right. It never goes sideways, it never goes wrong. Right. All right. I want to go into, let me see another scripture here real quick. Okay. All right, I'm going to read from Luke 6, 31 to 36. On the Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, I'm reading the wrong passage here. Hold on, but my thing done jumped on me. Okay. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefits is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefits is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? even sinners lend to sinners. To get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil, but merciful even as your Father is merciful. So that's pretty much what we've been talking all along. I mean, it's, you know, you got to, it's all about showing, going in with love. I mean, that's what it's all about. And like you said, just being guided through. I mean, you can't, like you said, it's not something you do on your own. You got to be led to it. So, and it's something that we need to practice, basically. That's what we definitely need to do. It's something we need to practice. I know it's something I need to practice. Yeah. Hold on,
So if love be that objective, and we as humans, we really don't know how to love, because I didn't know how to receive God's love. I never believed God loved me, and I was in ministry, not knowing how to receive that love from God. And so until we can receive and believe in our heart and know that God really loves us, we'll never be able to give that love. So it starts with receiving from God, knowing that he loves us, standing in that love, walking in that love, and that love's going to come out of us and it's going to spur out to other people. And that's the objective, to get in that love. We must believe that God loves us. He is for us. He is not against us. And it was so hard for me to get to that place. But now I'm in that place, and I know that God loves me, and so that love is starting to come out of me. It's starting to come out of me into my children, my grandchildren, my co-workers. But I didn't know how to do that until I learned to receive it from him first.
You know, in all three of the passages that you wrote, or that you spoke, you know, we can celebrate and praise and worship him, because he never asked us to do something that he himself would not do. You know, and so he's sitting here and he's saying, like, hey, these are the commandments. This is what you got to do. This is how you receive all of these things from me. But, you know, he's such an awesome father that he doesn't sit back and go, you know, hey, because I'm God, you got to do what I say do because I say do it. But because he knows us and he knows the true heart of us, you know, he sits back and he says, you know what, I'm going to send an example. I'm gonna be the consistent example for them. So that way when they deter, that way when they fall off, that way when they're, you know, misled, you know, they have something that they can look back on and they can, you know, gain their footing again. And I just, you know, every time that I sit back and I, you know, find myself in any type of situation, whether I'm dealing with unforgiveness, whether I'm dealing with, you know, being judgmental or just being out of alignment with him, I just sit back and I can bask in the awesomeness of him, because I know that he loved me enough to be so strategic in the way that he teaches me, so that way I can get it. So that way I can understand it. And the way that he teaches me isn't the way that he teaches everybody else. You know, he may have to approach you a completely different way, but because he created us all in his image, the objective is the same at the end of the day. But he loves us so much that he individualizes the plan for each and every one of us, so that way we don't fall, so that way we don't fail at the end of the day. Amen.
That's good. You know, I got a thing, the two C's. First one is, he giving you a chance. The second one is, it's your choice. You know? So that's definitely, that's how it go right there. It's those are the two C's right there.
Personally, when I was in the world, Thank God, I need you to get me through that. Just one more time. I ain't gonna do it no more. Just get me through it one more time. I promise you I ain't gonna do it no more. And then that one more time comes, and then one more time comes again, and that one more time comes again. And then I get mad when I would get mad at him because it wasn't the outcome that I wanted it to be. But in his presence, when, like she said, when I got for real and knew that he loved me for real, now you know you have to walk in that obedience and be who it is that he has called you to be so that you know what it is going forth that you need to do. Walk in love, walk in peace, walk in joy, so that you can be that vessel that he's calling you to be, so you can be the light for the other people around you.
That is it. That is it. Okay, I got a couple more minutes here. I'm going to go ahead and try to get us through the rest of this real quick. Let me see you now. I kind of wanted to do things a little different only because it helps those that, I mean, you never know who's going to be in Sunday school, so it kind of helps everyone's perspective. And I'm not a scholar. I can't say that I can speak on it. I mean, there's so many good, there's so many good points here today. So that's why I kind of wanted to go in the direction that I did. So to kind of get everybody's experience, I guess, put it that way. I guess experience would be a good one. But the key takeaways of this is misunderstanding, judge not. This passage is not a prohibition against all judgment or discernment, but a warning against hypocrisy, malice, and adopting a judgmental spirit. The law of reciprocity, Jesus warns that God will use the same measures of grace or harness we extend to others when evaluating us. The log and the speck. This vivid, humorous imagery illustrates that we are often blinded by our own massive pride and sin, the log, while focusing on minor faults in others, the speck. Correction with humility. The goal is not to ignore sin, but to prioritize self-correction. Only after addressing personal sins can one see clearly to lovingly help a brother or sister as discussed in. So we've already pretty much covered why it was easier to spot, see sins in someone else to get to, pretty much to get the focus off our own self. I mean, we're like, we quick to judge and everything. So, but I mean, that's just what it is. I mean, it's, you can't just judge. I'm gonna go through the questionnaire real quick and I'm gonna ask a couple of these real quick. How can we discern the difference between constructive, loving discernment and self-righteous, hypocritical judgment? Like the word of God. Okay, pretty much the same with that. Hold on. How can we discern the difference between constructive, loving discernment and self-righteous, hypocritical judgment? Yeah. So what practical steps can we take to ensure we are doing his will? Pray, read the word, be about his business, be about the word, self-evaluation, that's a good one. Prayer, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. Well, if that's it, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and get ready to close out. And I'm glad I know it was different than what y'all expected, but it was good for me. As I hope it was good for everyone else.
Yeah.
Being the never above anything, and I just hope everybody got something from it. So I'm going to pray us out so we can go ahead and get ready for service. Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you and I thank you for the word today, dear God. I thank that you are able to get that through to me, through everyone else, dear God. And I ask that you just watch over, cover, and bless each and every one of the saints in the house today. And ask that you watch over, cover, and bless those that are on their way. And dear God, I ask that you step foot in here, step forth on the service that we're about to have and just make it a great one, dear God. And I ask that you bless and watch over and cover our pastor and our first lady and their family, dear God, and keep them in good health and get them in strength and get them right back where they need to be back in the house of the Lord next week, dear God. And dear God, we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.